of E. Fuller in his regular heart-to-heart hour broadcast.
Again, good evening, friends in Radio Land. This is the last Sunday night of all 1935, and Mrs. Fuller and I thank our God upon every remembrance of you, our dear friends in Radio Land. Now, the services tonight are dedicated to the Sunday School of Tuttle, Idaho, and also to the Baptist young people of Bend, Oregon. My, you write such lovely letters to us in reference to the dedication of these services. It just cheers our hearts. And there's one party up at Tuttle, Idaho, that's doing a good work in gathering the boys and girls together in Sunday school. And then the pastor of the Baptist Church at Bend, Oregon, wrote such a lovely letter stating that hundreds are listening in that section to our radio revival hour each Sunday night. It gladdens our heart, and we feel the pull and the bond of fellowship across the many miles. I'm going to ask the choir of the Fountain Avenue Baptist Church, with Mr. Miller leading and Mr. Harkins at the piano, to sing three choruses for us tonight. First of all, Lord, lay some soul upon our heart. Then Calvary Stream is flowing. And then the chorus of Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross, for the benefit of one of our radio friends. All right.
Thank you.
Sometime in the near future, we're planning to have that chorus, Lord, Lay Some Soul Upon My Heart, in print so that we can send it out to all who are on our mailing list. Now, next Sunday night services will be dedicated to the Haines Community Church, the Baptist young people of that church of Haines, Oregon. And we're happy to have with us in the studio tonight Evangelist Eilers, who, by the way, was at Albany, Oregon, last Sunday night when we dedicated the services to the Baptist young people of that city. And I'm going to have Evangelist Eilers just say hello to the people up in Oregon.
Hello, everybody. My, I wish you could be down here with me tonight. I was glad to be up with you last Sunday night, but I wish you could be here tonight and see this fine bunch of folks here and meet Mr. Fuller. It's great to be down here. I hope you didn't have too much to eat on Christmas.
Thank you. Well, I'm mighty glad to have you with us. And now, choir, will you sing that song, Tell Me the Old, Old Story, for Mrs. Kohler of Pasadena, Mrs. Alma Torbett of Saratoga, Wyoming, and Mrs. Mary Brown and J.E. Laird of Sunnyside, Washington, and William Sam, wife and daughter of Parsons, Kansas, and Mrs. M.M. Buckley of Trona, California. All right, Lord, lay. Dedicated to Mrs. Forrest E. Byer of Suffolk, Montana. Friends in Radio Land, tell you the old, old story of Jesus and his love. And that's our sole purpose, is to preach Christ and him crucified. Now, Tuesday afternoon, the prophetic lamp hour, 3 to 3:30 over KNX and KSFO San Francisco. And Thursday afternoon, we're beginning to tie that hour in on the Western Network with KSFO San Francisco also. And beginning Thursday, we start a series in the book of Leviticus. So tell your friends, and tune in Tuesday afternoon and Thursday afternoon, 3 to 3:30, over KNX and KSFO San Francisco. And then next Sunday night, the radio revival. My, I want you to tell your friends and spread the good news. I do not know how many souls have found Christ this past year through the radio revival hour. God knows. But we're happy that so many have come to the light and been translated out of the darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And I do want to thank the prayer warriors in Radioland. We have some 500 on our list who have agreed to stand by and pray intercessory prayer for this work. And if you have urgent requests, send them in to us, and we'll be glad to place them before the prayer warriors. My, how God has answered prayer this past year through the Intercessory Prayer Warriors Association. And then we have heart-to-heart talks that we send out every 2 weeks. We'd be glad to send them to you. These heart-to-heart talks are devotional in character, and they're sent free of charge to you upon the receipt of your name and address. And remember, all mail should be addressed to Reverend Charles E. Fuller, Post Office Box 123, Los Angeles. If you'd like to have Mrs. Fuller's picture and mine together, we'd be glad to send them out to you. And we're filling the requests as quickly as we can. And I think that we'll have all requests granted by the middle of this week. Now, friends, I'm going to ask the choir to sing a special number at this time. Lord, send the old time power. Number 294 in your songbook. I'm sure we haven't had it on this radio before, but I want you to hear it. Lord, send the old time power. The choir of the Fountain Avenue Baptist Church were singing, Danny Boy, our 10-year-old son, and I slipped into another studio. And I'm going to ask Danny to sing for it this time, and he's especially singing for the boys and girls in Radioland. And he's going to dedicate this song to Miss Alice Tucker, who was so kind to give him a typewriter a little while ago, and also to Grandmother Adele here in Los Angeles. And I just want the junior boys and girls all over Radioland to listen now as Danny sings. What are you going to sing, Danny?
Away in a Manger. I will sing Away in a Manger by Martin Luther. This song was written in the 16th century. It has been sung for so many years, it seems like a part of Christmas.
Away in a manger, no crib is bed. Oh, let the Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep in the hay. With careful eye knowing that the baby lay. But little Lord Jesus knew crying his mate. Look down from the sky and stay by my side until morning is nigh.
Well, thank you, Danny. You played that and singing, playing a little softly, weren't you? That's fine. And Daddy thanks you, and I know all the junior boys and girls in Radioland will thank you, too. And I think that we'll just turn the microphone now over to Mother and have her read the letter. So we'll hear from Mrs. Fuller now on the letter.
Good evening, friends. I'm most awfully glad to be with you tonight. Last Sunday night, I just sort of threw the monkey wrench and everything by getting sick. But it just couldn't be helped. And I joined that great throng of listeners, and I received a great blessing from the service last Sunday night. I'm awfully glad to be here tonight, though, to read these fine letters, or a few of them. We're so thankful to be able to help those who are in the hard places, faithfully sowing the word of God, especially those who are striving to keep little Sunday schools going so that the children in isolated districts may have the word of God. Here's a letter from one of our prayer warriors who is in a summer resort up above Grants Pass, Oregon. She writes, "There is a little struggling Sunday school here in this little mountain resort. No church and very few Christian workers. But each one is trying to keep alive this small hand planting of the Lord and to sow the gospel seed, believing that the word will not return to him void. We have about an average of 35 in attendance. We also meet Wednesday evenings for Bible study. And last Sunday night, we decided to meet Sunday evenings also, taking the radio to the Sunday school room and to have you preach to us. We would like to know what songbook you use so we can sing with you. And after the sermon, we will read one of your heart-to-heart talks and close with prayer. We have no preacher, no pastor, but we all love the Lord and wish to occupy until he comes." That's good, isn't it? And here's a letter from a shut-in lady who is in a sanatorium for tuberculosis up in the northern part of California. She writes, "I have been a shut-in for nearly a year now. For a while last summer, I was near a young woman who had a radio, and every Sunday evening she'd tune in and together we'd enjoy your services. Then I became very ill, and I had to be moved into the hospital building where I've been ever since. I did miss the Sunday evening radio services so much. When one's gone to church all one's life and been active in the Lord's work, it isn't the easiest thing in the world to have to lay it all aside, and sometimes for days and weeks to hear no gospel message or song. So on Sundays especially, I have been very, very lonely. But several weeks ago, my family, and God bless them good, brought me a little five-tubed radio set, all for my own. Needless to say, I've had no more lonely Sunday evenings, and am enjoying the radio revival to the full. I believe in the old-time gospel, for the way of the cross leads home." And then here's a letter from a hungry heart, way up in British Columbia. "I've been listening to your broadcasts over KNX. In fact, I listen every Sunday night, and I do enjoy it all. But as yet, I don't grasp the way of salvation. Please pray for me. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet I know I'm not saved. I get so discouraged and tired of life. My health is so poor all the time, and I've been such a sinner. I just long to be taken into the fold of Christ. Do pray for me and my 17-year-old son, that we both may be saved. Well, prayer warriors, I'm asking you to remember that, dear lady, in prayer. And we have the assurance that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled." Here's a good letter, a good homespun letter from up by Sacramento, California. I'm going to read this just as it's written. It's such a dear letter. "Dear Brother and Sister Fuller, most every time you're on the air, I tune in on my radio to hear your good sermons. I do enjoy them so much. And I pray for you every day that you may be able to continue your broadcasting. You're doing so much good. I run a rooming and apartment house, and I have people in my place that does not believe in the hereafter. I also have them that does believe. But I want to tell you, when they hear your voice over the radio, everyone is so quiet, you would think there was only myself in this building. Now, as many others, I'm just a working woman, 62 years old, and poor on earth. But will be so rich in heaven. Riches here I care not for. But I am so happy. I wonder how many millionaires could say tonight, 'I'm so happy.' Well, Christ himself said," and this is my comment, not her letter, "Christ himself said that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Having things and things does not make one rich, but contentment with godliness is great gain." And then in 1 Timothy 6:9-11, "They that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, for the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word." And then to go back to the letter, she said, "But I'm so happy. Well, I will try and finish my letter. I've been all day trying to write to you, Mr. Fuller. Someone calls to me every few minutes. And as to the heart-to-heart talks, I want you to please send them to me. I enjoy them so much. Enclosed, find $1. It's all I'm able to send now. Well, I'll just close. Someone else is wanting something. So you may know that I'm a mother to all my tenants. Well, may God bless you and family. Isn't that a good letter? And then here's a card from Elgin, Illinois. Tonight is the first time I received your program over the air. I certainly enjoyed it very much. It's wonderful to hear when I'm so far away. And here's another good homespun letter, just in fun. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Fuller, it goes without saying that I want your pictures, but I guess I'll have to say so. What good meetings we're having, and so many being saved. A year-round revival, I'd say. But up to a short time ago, I was of the opinion that we had to get them down to the mourner's bench. And here they are being garnered in from thousands of miles away. The singing is so inspiring on the radio revival hour. I'm copying the verses from the last heart-to-heart talk for old folks into my shut-in letters. What a comfort they are, even to young folks when they're tired. I wish we could have an entire hour sometime for our blessed letter reader. The letters are so inspiring. I want the pictures. God bless you and give you a happy Christmas time. Is there room for just one more? Well, I'll read this very brief one from Savage, Montana. Dear Mr. Fuller, I was glad to hear from you. I love to hear the Sunday night talks. I'm blind and old and feeble. I love to hear the heart-to-heart talks read to me, so will you please put me on your mailing list? And then here's such a good letter from a man with a broken back who has lain paralyzed in bed for 5 years and listens in regularly. This is from the Veterans Hospital here in West Los Angeles. 6:45 p.m., Christmas Sunday. That was last Sunday night. Dear Mr. Fuller, your voice is now coming into my ear while the choir is singing, God Will Take Care of You. I listen to you regularly over my little table radio. I'm a colored soldier and citizen of Los Angeles, California for 16 years. I'm a Christian boy. I have a lovely wife and sister whom I tell about your wonderful sermons. I don't get a pension from the government or the city of Los Angeles, where I worked for 10 years before November the 2nd, 1930, when I got my back broken and paralyzed me, now bedridden for 5 years. I have very little, but I want to give God something, my heart included. So he includes 50 cents. May God bless all of your members and everyone and you also. Pray for me and mine. This little sum is all I can afford, but it's from my heart to God on this Christmas Sunday. Yours truly. Well, I want to give him this gentleman just one verse. Isaiah 45:3. I will give these hidden riches of secret places. As he lies unable to move about, he can feast on the word, the Holy Spirit illuminating the page. And truly, God will give to him hidden riches of secret places. And now, dear friends of Radioland, Mr. Fuller and Danny, join me in thanking you for all your Christmas greetings and good wishes for us. We appreciate your every thought for us and thank you from our hearts. Our prayer for each one of you is that love, joy, and peace as the fruit of the Holy Spirit may fill your heart during the coming new year.
Thank you, honey. Now, choir, will you be ready to sing just in a few minutes? Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. I'm sure you friends in Radioland appreciate these letters. It shows how the word is being received out in Radioland. God is touching hearts. And I just want to say this, make it very short and to the point. We are in special need of finances by Tuesday and Thursday of this week. Holidays have been a rather difficult time for us. And I'm just placing it before you, knowing that you'll place it before the throne and make it a matter of prayer. And so we'll be glad to hear from you, whatever you can, to keep us going on the Sunday night radio revival hour. I'm going to ask the choir to sing that song, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us, and we're going to dedicate it to Mr. and Mrs. John Berkheimer of Laurel, Montana, and Mrs. Stella Dyer and Mrs. Myrtle Dyer of Los Angeles, and Mr. N.A. Field of Field, New Mexico, and also Mrs. H.B. Clausen of Salinas, California.
Thank you.
want you to sing Savior More Than Light to be. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, upon this radio revival hour over KNX again tonight, we ask thy blessing. We pray that the songs may just go into the hearts of men and women. And now as we come to the word, which is a lamp under our feet and a light under our path, may that sharp, two-edged sword of the Spirit pierce hearts and minds, and may it bring reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. Bless the discouraged hearts tonight, Heavenly Father. Bless those hearts that are lonely. Bless those hearts, those who are poor in this world's goods, but rich in faith. Truly the path of the just does shine brighter and brighter into the perfect day, with all the signs about us, looking towards the soon coming of Christ. Truly the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, and we'll soon be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so may we all be patient. But meanwhile, Heavenly Father, help us to get the word out and to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. For we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. Of Hollywood. You're listening to the Radio Revival Hour. Reverend Fuller speaking. Remember last Sunday night, friends in Radio Land, I spoke to you on the subject, the gift of the Holy Spirit, taking the 38th verse of the second chapter of Acts. And tonight, knowing that so many young people are listening in, and I'm happy to say that each Sunday night there's an increasingly large number of young people listening in, I want to give this message tonight to, especially for the young people, on the subject of gifts. On the subject of gifts. And this message is directed to the members of the body of Christ, to the church. Now, when I speak of the church in these messages on the different Sunday night radio revival hours, I do not speak of an organization or some building or some denomination, but an organism, more properly termed the body of Christ, the body of which Christ is the head, of which you and I, who are born again and regenerated, are individual members. Now that church is composed of black and white, and the yellow and the red, from the four corners of the earth, from the cold regions of the north, and to the very
warm regions of the equator section, God has called out men and women of various walks, of various educational qualities. He's called them out, and they are members of the body of Christ. And I want to talk to you very quietly tonight, but right to the point on the matter of gifts. It's a subject that's been on my heart for some time. This sermon tonight, or rather talk, is in the nature of a heart-to-heart talk. I'm not going to preach to you, but just talk to you out of my heart. Now, in the body of Christ, there are different members. You take, for instance, in our physical body, there are different members. There are the hands, and then the feet, there's the eye, and the ear, and there are different parts to our body. And each member has a particular function to perform for the edification of our physical body. The eye does not do what the hand does, and the hand does not do what the eye does. Each have a particular function to perform for the edification of our physical body. And so it is in the church. And if you have your Bibles with you tonight, and I hope many of you have, I want you to turn to the 1 Corinthian epistle to the 12th chapter. I'm going to read you just a few verses on spiritual gifts. We find in the first verse these two words, now concerning. And if you'll go through 1 Corinthians and mark the occurrences of those two words, now concerning, you'll have a little key that unlocks that epistle. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, not writing to the unsaved, but to those that are brethren in Christ. He said, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give unto you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Then he goes on to explain. He says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Notice the Trinity spoken of there in those three verses. In the fourth verse, the Spirit. In the fifth verse, the Lord. And in the sixth verse, God the Father. But now note what it says in the seventh verse. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, we're told here in this 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians that there are different gifts for the members of the body of Christ, that these gifts are given by the Holy Spirit, that he, the Holy Spirit, divides to every man severally as he will. And if you'll turn to the 4th chapter of Ephesians, you'll find an enlargement, really, of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. For in the 4th chapter, verse 16, we read as follows. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That is, every man has a gift. And God tells us in 1 Corinthians that every man hath his proper gift of God. And in 1 Timothy 4:14, we're told, neglect not the gift that is within you. And in 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift. And then in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, 7th verse, see that ye come behind in no gift. And in Ephesians 4:16, every joint supplying. Every member of the body of Christ supplying something that is vital to the edification of the church. Now, as the different members of the physical body supply things necessary for the upbuilding of that physical body, so every member of the church, educated or illiterate, prince or peasant, poverty or prosperous, everyone is for the edification of the church. And this is the message that I want to bring to you tonight, especially to the young people.
of Tuttle, Idaho, and also of Bend, Oregon, that you, dear friends in Radioland, members of the body of Christ, every one of you has a gift, and that gift should be for the edification of the church. Now turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, beginning at the 9th verse. I want to give you this teaching in order that you may see your high calling in Christ Jesus, that you will not neglect the gift that is within you, but that you will use that gift for God's glory and use it and occupy till he comes. Now in the 9th verse of the 3rd chapter of 1 Corinthians, we read as follows. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, the foundation that Paul has laid is the gospel of Jesus Christ, of Christ's death and resurrection, the foundation stones of that marvelous gospel, the gospel of the grace of the Son of God, that whosoever will may come and receive Christ as their personal Savior and have life eternal. Now, Paul said, I've laid that foundation, but another is building thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon or upon that foundation, that one foundation. For Paul goes on to say, under the inspiration of the Spirit, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now listen, I want to make it very practical. You're a member of the body of Christ, all right? Now Paul says, now notice the ifs. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, he tells us here very clearly that every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now notice the next if. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Notice the next if in verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And then there are some further instructions and injunctions given in this 3rd chapter of 1 Corinthians. But this is the point. Listen, my young believer in Christ Jesus. Every moment that you're living, every contact or person that you come in contact with, every hour of your day that God permits you to live, you are building, building, building on that foundation. And God says, take heed, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And someday when you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, our life is going to be brought in review. And we're going to see as clear as day every thought, every word, every action. And it's going to be made manifest. And if we have built upon that foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, they shall abide and we shall receive a reward. Well, someone may ask me tonight, what constitutes gold and silver and precious stones? That is, what type of work? And I want to give it to you. After years of experience, God has laid this upon my heart as the difference between those works that shall abide and the works that shall be burnt up. Now notice God says, if you shall build upon that foundation, wood, hay, and stubble, these shall be burned at the judgment seat of Christ, yet the believer shall be saved as though by fire. It's God's word. Now the difference between those two classes of work is as follows. I believe with all my heart that when the children of Israel wandered 38 years in the wilderness, out of covenant relationship, out of fellowship with God, they had a lot of work, but no forward progress. And we're told in the scriptures very little concerning those 38 long years of wandering. But you take the year and a half or 2 years that they were in fellowship and in covenant relationships with the Jehovah of the Old Testament. God spends much time in giving us the details of their life, how he led them to certain waters and to certain places of food, and how out of the rock the water came. I believe this is the difference. Listen, every work that you do in faith with God's glory, and your eyes single to God's glory, and that work done in faith will be the gold and the silver and the precious stone. But the work that's done through self-power, self-ambition, and done in the energy of the flesh, and done all through self, leaving Christ out and not giving him the glory, will be wood, hay, and stubble. And I plead with you, my friends in Radio Land tonight, to take account, to examine yourself, and to see if the work that you're doing day by day is done for self-glorification or for Christ's glorification. The Bible says to give him glory, that he might be glorified in everything that we do, that he might have the preeminence. And this is the encouragement that I want to give to young people out in Radio Land. You have a gift. Or you say to me, Brother Fuller, I don't have a gift. Yes, you have. God says that every member of the body of Christ has a gift. And Paul, speaking under the inspiration of the Spirit, says, neglect not that gift. Now, if you neglect a garden or neglect the fruit orchard, weeds will come up and will choke the perfection of that fruit, or that fruit coming to full ripeness and to perfection. So it is in spiritual things. If you neglect the gift, neglect the prayer life, neglect the life of meditation and feeding upon the Word, neglect the gift that he's given you, why, other things will come in and that Word will be choked and you'll be unfruitful, having a name of being alive but dead unto all the fruit of the Spirit spoken of in the fifth of Galatians. Now listen, you have a gift. Some of you may have the gift of teaching. Some of you may love to take the boys and girls around about you and teach them the Word of God. Some of you can visit the sick. Some of you can give a cup of cold water. Some of you can call upon the widows. Some of you can clothe those that are naked and feed those that are hungry. Some of you can sing. Some of you can do boys' work. Listen, let me ask you this question. What do you love to do in God's service? The thing that you love to do is the gift that God has given you. Therefore, I would take time daily to meditate upon the Word and to feed upon the Word and to just pray for open doors that may help you in that gift, that thing that you love to do. And first thing you know, your steps will be ordered and God will use you in his service and he'll give you other open doors as the days go by, and he'll use you for his glory. Listen, God tells us in his Word that the field is white under harvest, but the laborers are few. And I'm pleading tonight for the sake of the pastors out in the sections of the country away from the metropolitan area. Always letter after letter comes in from the different pastors, how they unburden their hearts, saying that they wish they could see more fruit of their work. They're praying day after day for the different members that they might have more help. They lack Sunday school teachers. They lack church workers. They lack the members to come around and help them pray. Listen to me out there in Radio Land. Some pastors would almost faint tomorrow if some members of the church would go to that pastor and say, Pastor, here am I. What can I do to help you in the service instead of being a hindrance? Listen, God's given you a gift. God's given you a gift. He said, if you'll neglect not that gift and stir up that gift that is within you, he said, when I come someday, I'll bring my reward with me, and I'll reward every man according to his work. Do you want to have an abundance of entrance into the glory above? Listen, Paul laid the foundation. You're building thereon. And I want to tell you something just out of my heart. I love to teach words. And I've just made a covenant with my God. I've said in so many words this, given me strength, given me help. I'll just devote my time to teaching the word. Oh, I'd rather teach than eat, as the boys say. I just love to open the word and to talk to men and women about their souls and to instruct them in the things of righteousness. And I trust that God will give me many opportunities of teaching the word. And I do appreciate this open door over this great superpowered station of KNX, Hollywood. Listen, back in the 15th chapter of Luke, we're told about a woman that had 10 pieces of silver. She lost one of those pieces one day, and then she needed that silver to buy some food to keep her alive. But she couldn't find that lost piece of silver, and so she took a broom and a light, and she went about the room and about the house to find that piece of silver. And finally, down in the darkness and debris and accumulated dust of the house, she found that piece of silver coin. And the point I want to drive home to you tonight is this. That piece of silver money or coin bore the image of the king. But while it was hidden away in the house, it was not usable. It could not be put out into service. It could not purchase the necessities of life. And I want to tell you, my fellow believer, tonight you may be a member of the body of Christ. You may bear the stamp and the image of the King of Kings. But through the darkness of lustly flesh and the carnality and the things that worldly, the love of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You're not usable. And you need to be swept out into the light and into God's service. And I'm just asking the Holy Spirit to impress it upon your heart tonight that I'm speaking. That if you bear the image of the King, that you may not be hidden away any longer back of the pleasures of this old world. For the Bible says that she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. But that you may put your talents, your gifts, out into the service to let God use you. Now listen, God says, occupy till I come. He said, I'm coming someday, and I'm going to bring my rewards with me. He said, I'm going to come with the reward of the crown of righteousness, with the incorruptible crown, with the crown of rejoicing. Paul, speaking there to the Thessalonican believers, said, ye are my crown of rejoicing. And won't it be wonderful when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ someday and see the souls that God has permitted you to win? Those precious eternal souls will be your crown of rejoicing down through the aeons upon aeons. I want to tell you that's worth everything. Neglect not the gift that is within you. And I trust that you may go to your room tonight. And before you put your head upon the pillow and go to sleep, you may settle the matter and say, Lord, you've given me a gift. I want to use that gift now for thy glory. And I hereby, on this last Sunday night of 1935, I present my body as a living sacrifice, which is my reasonable service, that I might prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Will you make that decision tonight? I'm speaking to young people especially, but older people too. Wherever you are, scattered over the western 11 states tonight and up into Canada, up into Alaska and down into Mexico and out on the islands of the sea, will you make that decision tonight? Oh, listen. God is looking for laborers. He's looking for fellow laborers and for workers in the vineyard. And the sad cry comes back. The field is white under harvest, but the laborers are few. And I trust that out of this meeting tonight, God may stir some young man that'll go as a firebrand across this country, winning thousands to Christ. I will be happy... if God can just raise up some Moody or some Spurgeon or some Tory for his glory. Listen, one verse of Scripture, or rather two verses of Scripture, are a great comfort to me. They're found in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, beginning at the 27th verse. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are,
that no flesh should glory in his presence. Listen, but God hath chosen, and I'd rather be chosen by God tonight than to have all the medals pinned upon my breast for valor in war, good as they are. I'd rather have those words said of me that God has chosen me to go out and ordain me to preach the gospel. And I'm praying tonight that I might be faithful and occupy it till he comes. Let's bow our heads in prayer just before Miss Gatter closes with a solo. Now, our Father, we've been trying in a very simple way to tell Radioland tonight that every member of the body of Christ has a gift. Thou knowest the gift, and the Holy Spirit divideth severally as he will. He knows what gift is needed for the edification of the church. He knows exactly the place each member should be planted to bring forth the best fruit, the fruit under perfection. And so help us to be yielded, help us to be humble, help us to be usable, and help us so that we might not be cast away, set aside, disallowed, and that we might gain the incorruptible crown, the crown of rejoicing, and the crown of life. And Father, wilt thou just speak to heart out in Radioland tonight, and especially to the young people. Oh, God, sweep over their hearts. And may they come by the hundreds to different pastors. Say, Pastor, I want to help you. I want to be usable. I want to be used in God's service. And Father, may they make the decision tonight, for we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Approved,
under God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word or rightly handling the word. And I'm praying for you out in Radio Land tonight that God will give you the courage, the power to see him, to be his and his alone for time and eternity. I just ask you in his name to make that presentation tonight for his glory. And so, friends in Radio Land, we bring another Radio Revival Hour to a close, asking you to pray for us. Good night, and God bless you.
And so, friends, once again, we too say good night to Reverend Fuller and his Heart-to-Heart Hour. May we remind you to address all mail to Reverend Charles E. Fuller at Post Office Box 123, Los Angeles, California. Reverend Fuller will be with us again next Tuesday and Thursday afternoons at 3 o'clock with another stirring message through facilities of the Western Broadcast Company. Attention, KNX News headline. Police in Vienna clamp down iron rule after assassination attempt against Heimwehr leader. Further particulars will be heard on the Sunday night edition of News at 9 o'clock tonight.